This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Trigger warning.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Pregnancy and birth. Are you breathing heavily? Is that you? Is that you breathing heavily? Why? Why? Is this you building up to Hello Halflings? What are you doing? What are you doing over there? You go wild over there. What is this? Are you angry? Are you sad? Are you upset? Are you happy? What is it?
Hello, yes! Halflings!
No, I'm sorry, Halflings! What do you mean?
It's me.
No! Explain!
It's me, Jeremy Cobb. Ooh. But Quinn Schulte calls me Jeremy Cobb 1D&D, which is a play on my Twitter handle. Also, nice. One Jeremy Cobb.
Very nice.
Thank you. Yeah. Shout out to Quinn Schulte, longtime friend of the show,
yeah.
And member of a couple of characters podcast. Yeah.
Check him out.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And you also use he, him,
but
pronouns.
I'm joined today by... Oh, my pronouns. Thank you so much.
We're doing it.
Person who hasn't... Yes. No, we want to institute it. We just keep forgetting. My pronouns are he, him.
Yeah.
And I'm joined today by...
Hello, it's me. My name... Oh, wait. Oh, I got it wrong. Hi, I'm Olivia Kennedy, but you can call me Liv. I use she, her pronouns. Oh, God. It's...
One, yeah.
Like, it's been a while. It's been a hot minute since I have joined Three Black Halflings. In fact, I would say I'm part of the furniture now, you know? And yet I still cannot nail down an introduction. It's silly.
At this point... Well, at this point, it's one of your key characteristics.
Yeah.
I think it's a core characteristic of you on this show.
I think so. It's who I am. And you know what? Do not deviate. it's what I say. Do not deviate.
Exactly. Just continue having trouble. I think the more trouble you have, the better.
Yeah, I think.
Specifically with this.
Yeah. No, in my entire life, I need to keep having trouble. And then that will improve my podcasting performance. Because you'll hear the ennui in my voice every time. And that's another layer of depth, you know? So.
Yeah, this sounds like Marvel's editorial mandate for Spider-Man.
What?
Much to the fans' chagrin. Yeah. Okay, very, very quick aside. Sure. It has always been the status quo in Spider-Man stories, in the comic books at least, for Peter Parker's life to just be really tough.
Oh, yeah.
The whole, how many stressors can we heap on top of him? Mm. The best example of this in movie form would be Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire one, where it's just everything is going wrong.
Everyone
There's
hates
all these
him.
Things that could be going right. Yeah, everybody hates him. Yeah. His job is miserable. He's always trying to get money.
Yeah.
Like, he can't, he's always like financially hurting. Mm-hmm. He's the girl of his dreams is in love with him, but he can't make a date with her because he's always doing Spider-Man stuff and he loses his powers.
Yeah.
Like, it's that.
Yeah.
But Marvel editorial in the past 15 years or so has taken that to a new level. And it's like, not only should he have a lot of stuff going wrong, he can never be happy. Did he have a happy marriage that he's gone through so much? No, it's gone now.
It's gone.
The marriage is gone. He was becoming more financially independent? No. Dr. Octopus took over his body.
What?
His
How
whole
does that
body
take away his money?
and killed. Well, now he's has no autonomy.
Okay.
And in fact, Dr. Octopus kills Peter Parker. Inside it, like, he switches bodies into Peter Parker, destroys Peter Parker's consciousness.
Ooh.
Before Peter Parker dies, there's literally a scene where Dr. Octopus starts, like, doing sexual things to memories of Peter and Mary Jane. He's like, I have access to all your memories.
No.
This is, and then they fast forward again and things are starting to get fixed again. But no, Mary Jane gets shunted into another dimension and shows up with a new boyfriend named Paul. It's just like, what? At this point, Spider-Man fans are like, why, Marvel, please let him be
let
happy.
Let him rest. Let him
we
rest.
We like the character.
He's just a boy. Well, you know, not really. They've had him age a bit, but still.
He's in his 30s.
Yeah, but still, he's just a boy. You know, I'm in my 50s and I'm just a girl.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, they did just recently, like as of this recording, they just released a new Spider-Man comic called Ultimate Spider-Man, where I guess the premise is it's not the original Ultimate Spider-Man. Ultimate Spider-Man, he is like in his mid-30s, has kids, is married to Mary Jane. Uncle Ben is alive works and is like buddies with J. Jonah Jameson. And Peter Parker sort of has like a quarter life crisis.
Okay.
And he never got his spider powers.
Oh.
And that's kind of... That's and it start he becomes Spider-Man as like a happy adult as opposed to as a teenager.
Okay.
And apparently it's been a huge hit so far.
I mean, I'm sure people just want a break. Yeah, I could see that. You know, just like he's just having a good he's settled. He's content. I love that for him.
Yeah.
Thank you for that Spider-Man lore, because Spider-Man is my favorite superhero, but I know startlingly little about him because I'm not that into stupid superheroes. So yeah, thank you very much.
That's understandable. Would you like to hear one fun fact?
Of course.
About Spider-Man?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've heard of the Punisher?
Yes.
The Punisher was originally a Spider-Man character. He originated as a Spider-Man character.
He
showed up in a Spider-Man comic having been hired to assassinate Spider-Man because one of his college professors was a bad guy and a creep. And hired, and also a supervillain, and hired the Punisher to kill Spider-Man.
The level of supervillains present in New York City is startling, you know? Like, it's just a lot.
Yeah.
So find them. Yeah. Smoke them out, you know? But, yeah.
Yeah. You'd think there'd be some in Chicago or Washington, D.C.
Delaware.
Delaware of all places.
Supervillains, Delaware. They
Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ohio.
Yeah. Some Ohio supervillains. Yeah.
Sure. But no. All flocking to New York City. It's a hub.
Yeah.
It's a cultural hub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the Kingpin, also originally a Spider-Man supervillain. He's now more commonly associated with Daredevil, but he originated as a Spider-Man villain.
For sure. I mean, my brain for a second was like, yes, this person. Then I was like, no, you're thinking of Lex Luthor. That's different. That's DC.
Lex Luthor, originally a Spider-Man villain.
Oh, shit, that would be
Amazing Fantasy 15, published in 1938. Mm-hmm. Lex Luthor was a major part of it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's, you hit it first, maybe. Probably, because it's the only time it's ever been said. But yeah, thank you very much for this Spider-Man lore, Jeremy. Yeah. But what we're here to talk about, like 7 minutes into the show,
I'm handing the reins over to you, Liv. I can't be trusted with them right now.
No, it's quite all right. No, honestly, like
I'm on one today, folks.
He's bloody on one. Oh, he's gone wild. Honestly, I'm excited for that.
Cobb's gone wild.
It's Cobb gone wild. Oh my goodness, such a weird sentence. But we wanted to talk to you about what's coming up in this here 2024 year for Three Black Halflings. There's a lot of things coming up, and we wanted to tell you all about them because, you know what, Jeremy? We're so bad at telling everyone what we're doing.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full prince vibe? Woof!
This makes them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh no!
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
And I love it. We're about to get into something real big now.
That's true.
We're so bad at it. We do things, you know? But we never...
You're right. No, we are bad at that.
We're so bad.
We should... This is where we turn it around.
Yeah. This is... Look, we're introducing our pronouns every single episode. We're telling people what we are up to. Surprisingly, we don't just go into like a cub and tea pose every time we're not recording. You know? That we actually have an autonomy and we go off and do things. I know, Jeremy. Wild. It's very wild.
I'm just imagining Chloe like opening a cupboard and you're just in there and she's like, oh, come on.
Oh, but I thought we were going to hang out today. Please close the door. I'm refrigerating. I don't know.
I'm imagining now Chloe going on a bunch of dates and like fun things and you're just there also T-posing next to them.
Yeah, but I am fully T-posed, but I still like move along.
Yeah, you just slide across the ground.
Yeah, I slide, exactly. Yeah. And I'm making it everyone's problem. But yeah, so I think to start off, why don't we just give like a few updates about like where we're at, just mm-hmm. as a trio, because I mean, I say trio, it's two of us currently here chatting to you right now.
That's true.
But
that's where, maybe we should start there.
Let's do that. Exactly. You might be like, hey, where the fuck is Jasper? I'm here for Jasper. If you don't bring him back, I'm going to write a complaint to you. and it's going to be in bold red font. And
no, Jasper, I walk.
I'm going to report this podcast to the relevant authorities. But yeah, Jasper's not here, but it's for a very wonderful reason, honestly. I've been cleared to talk about this because it's on social media and everything. Jasper mm-hmm. has I got a brand new halfling. Jasper and Jade.
Hey.
And it's River William. It's not River William Cartwright, but it's River Cartwright. is it River William? I don't know if Jasper's also named him William.
I think it might be River William.
Is it River William?
Me check. let me look this up. He sent us the child's full name.
The child.
And I can't remember. sent us this child's full name.
Because I was like, because I could very much be making that up. That's something my brain would do. Like, just like, yes, the two together. Both the Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though.
Am
Wait,
I?
Let me see.
Okay.
I think you're right.
Oh my god, my brain
is still
scrolling.
Right.
That's wild.
But we've met the child.
We have met.
He's a very cute little baby.
I almost burst into tears upon seeing River. He's glorious. He's wonderful. Like he's a teeny weeny little guy. He's just there. He's hanging out.
You were correct. It is River William Cartwright.
I knew it. And then my brain wasn't making that up. Oh, what a name. Just two good names. And you know what? It took me way too long to realize is that Jade and Jasper are both like gems. And I was like, oh my god.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
I
well, you think they should have named the child Silver?
Look, I'm not Silver particularly.
Well, that's not a gem.
No, that's not a gem.
Ruby?
Ruby, I mean, perhaps. What else is there? Like, no, Lapis.
Agate. Yeah, Agate.
Agate.
Agate. I've never known how to pronounce that. I probably did know how to pronounce it at one point, but I forgot.
Yeah.
Emerald.
Emerald, cute.
Quartz,
cute.
Amethyst. Ooh, that's an actual name that I've heard people use.
Yeah,
before.
I've heard that. I mean, mostly on Steven Universe, but still, like, yeah. No, I mean,
yeah.
Look, I think the River is a beautiful name. I love any kind of, like, water name, you know?
Obsidian!
Oh, that would have been, like, too powerful. Like, imagine being called Obsidian. Yeah. I would never
Obsidian
stop telling
Cartwright.
People. Yes!
How cool of a name is
That's
that?
That's so sick! Jasper, I know it's been, like, a little while, but consider renaming him again. Like, just
look, he'll never know the difference.
You don't, yeah. He's like, he may have the Wayback Machine and can go back on Twitter and like see that there's an announcement or whatever. But also, you know, and I don't think he would need the Wayback Machine for that. He would just need to go back a few, whatever.
Well, it would be like a decade plus, really, realistically, before this child is able to look up,
I mean,
like his own.
You would hope so. Kids be getting those smartphones quite early, though, you know? Like maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
Seven,
yeah.
Eight? I don't know. iPads.
Oh my goodness.
iPads, they get early.
True, but they don't own them, do they? Do they give a child the iPad to own, or is it
sometimes.
Just like you can play with our adult iPad?
Sometimes they do, I believe. Like there are okay. like ones that are made for children, I feel like. Am I making this up? I might be.
I don't know. I don't know, like I only have one, I think only one close friend with a child, with children. And to my knowledge, neither of those kids have their own iPads. One of them is also like 1 year old. The other one's like 4 or 5. Like they're too young.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But yes, brand new addition to the Halfling family. We are very happy for Jade and Jasper. They are smashing it so far. And we just can't wait to see little River grab it up. And it's very exciting and wonderful. But that's where Jasper is at the moment, and he's off doing really cool things.
Paternity leave.
Yes, paternity leave indeed. But he'll be back. He's going to be doing some cool things with us. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Any other like updates from you, Jeremy, or just about how things are going with you? You good? You good?
I want to shout out a series that recently just finished airing and is all available to be watched on YouTube at this point, which is Project Marana. I've been talking about it for months. with Roll For It, mm-hmm. Which is a very, very cool Twitch channel that I've been very lucky to get to do a number of things with. It is a Call of Cthulhu series that is run by Kelly. Kelly Wright, whom you longtime 3BH fans will know from Big Trouble in Little Manus, where they played Jamie. The cast also includes Margaret Crone, who's one of the main people over at Roll For It, and who was also in Big Trouble in Little Manus, and Charlene Bayer, who has been in the Eldritch Foundry one shot with us, and of course Big Trouble in Little Manus. Callie and Char also have their own show called Tabletop Titties, which is their own Twitch channel.
We love it.
Yeah, what a name. And remember, when you say titties, it's with double D's.
Yeah, exactly.
The Tabletop Titties is a Twitch channel run by people of queer and marginalized genders. It's very cool. They do good. They play good game.
Yeah.
They play good game. They do D&D and Vampire. I think those are their main systems.
Oh, gotta play Vampire. I haven't played it.
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
You haven't played it?
I haven't played it. I've played the...
It's good.
I've played the Bloodlines video game from back in the day, but I haven't actually played Vampire the Masquerade.
Was that also good?
It's old, but it's
okay.
but it's very good. No, it's classic RPG, very, very fun. Yeah. There's this haunted house section that's actually pretty good. It's weird. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You should play it. I highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll have to check it out. Yeah. The other player is Katie Peters, who has her own Twitch channel called Katie Peters Plays. She's very cool, very nice. It's a very, very good series. Mm-hmm. I think the longest series that I've ever been in that was not 3BH that's been released. Ooh. And it's easily one of my favorite ones that I've been in. I think it has a really cool concept in that every episode alternates between our characters in 2023 and our characters in 1994 and 1995.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'll have present day and then jump back to 90s and then jump back to present day, episode after episode. And both of these have parallel storylines. And it's clear that something happened in the 90s that we don't really talk about, we haven't talked about, but it's something happened in the 90s that changed everything.
Y2K.
And now we're very different people in 2023. It's got a lot of character drama, got a lot of emotion, and a lot of violence in the last stretch of episodes.
Yeah, that tracks for Call of Cthulhu, right? Yeah,
track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It gets gnarly. Okay. So if you enjoy suspense, horror, character drama, emotional stuff, I can't recommend it highly enough. Mm. It's a very, very good series. It's 20 episodes long. It's all out. It'll put you through the ringer, especially the back half will really put you through the ringer.
Okay.
I'll talk about it with you if you want to hear about it. some of the details.
Yeah.
But it's it gets intense.
Ooh, that's very exciting. Spicy. We love that. We love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's...
How about you, Liv?
That's super fun. If you want to, you can go over and check out the Eurogamer TikTok. I know that's kind of out of the blue, but I'm running the Eurogamer TikTok right now and posting.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm posting a bunch of stuff, getting to know TikTok really well. Did a bunch of fun things that have been put on there. I interviewed the Baldur's Gate 3 cast back in October for EGX. There are a few fun clips of that on there. One of which has 2.2 million views. I know, right?
Whoa!
I know.
What's the clip about?
It's Amelia Tyler, who plays the narrator, who is the narrator of Baldur's Gate 3, and she's talking about how she did 17 different narration styles. 17, depending on who you play, they will be slightly different each time. And I mind blowing. Mind-blowingly good. Really cool. A bunch of cool fun facts about Baldur's Gate 3 from that, and just a bunch of cool video game stuff. So head on over. I just posted a clip of an interview with Jeff Goldblum that Aoife did. He's reacting to Sephiroth from Final Fantasy, and it's very funny. he's like, whoa.
It's very good. Photos of him, or the theme, or what?
Just a photo of him, and he's like, "Ooh, who's this?" This is very good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's fun. That's a thing I'm currently doing. I'm gonna be on a few things coming up. Like I'm gonna be playing a game of Masks with RP Geeks very soon. I'm so excited about my character. She's gonna be really fun. That's gonna be happening. We're gonna be filming that towards the end of January, I believe. And also I'm gonna be on Fiona Howitt's show, which is because I'm always just like, it's Fiona's show, and then I'm like, wait a minute.
You know, Fiona her show.
What Am I Rolling? I believe. Yeah. And we're going to be doing the What Am I Rolling podcast. Yes, exactly. That's it. And we're going to be playing a game as well that's like very zombie heavy, which should be fun. But yeah, those are the things I'm going to be doing. But yeah, apart from that, we're doing pretty good. Apart from that, no, I mean, I'm just doing good. and also, we have a website, by the way. That we made a website last year, www.3blackhalflings.com. That's number 3blackhalflings.com. And it's a source for like all of the 3 Black Halflings things, you know, that you need in your life. So go over and check it out.
Yeah.
Cool. Now let's move on to what's coming in 2024, because it's all really exciting. I'm hyped about it. One of the things I'm most hyped about, Jeremy, and this is something that you approached me and Jasper about, and we were like, oh my god, yeah, why haven't we been doing that before? We're going to be doing a brand new actual play series that's released regularly on the show that is simply just the three of us, the three half.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more?
Sure. So after, I think really we started doing it this way way back when we first started doing the Cub and the Caterpillar. And it was such fun. but then like after that, we were like, okay, let's make the next one bigger and better. And then we did that. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, all right, let's keep doing that. And then we kept doing that. And that's hard to put together. That's hard and stressful to put together. Mm-hmm. I was finally like, all right, we have some big stuff that we have planned, sure. Mm-hmm. But what if we just did another series that was just us?
Yeah.
And I've had several ideas for different kinds of series that we could do. Mm-hmm. And I believe, Liv, correct me if I'm wrong, will we not be doing a Patreon poll so that folks can vote on which of these they want to do?
You're so correct. Yes, you can head on over to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/3blackhalflings. And you can, like, if you join a monetized tier, I believe. I'm going to double check.
Yes,
a monetized tier. I think it's just literally any kind of monetized tier. Then you'll be able to vote on this, and you will have the ability to decide like what we do. Like you and the rest of the patrons who are wonderful. We love you. So it's a pretty good incentive to go over and check it out. And also we will definitely love you forever. So
of course. Mm-hmm. I will very quickly say, so the ideas right now, the three options that we're mainly looking at are, of course, I've talked about it on the show, been talking about it for a long time, a Redwall themed story. Yeah. If you haven't heard me talk about it on the show, the Redwall series of books were published by this guy, Brian Jakes, who I think was English. You'd think it was pronounced Jacques, but it's actually Jakes, apparently. That's how he said it anyway.
I was going to say, like, is it like the French spelling?
It's spelled like Jacques.
Oh, wow.
But it's pronounced Jakes. That's how he pronounced it.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But it's anthropomorphic animals, not in sort of like anthropomorphic animals, but like wearing clothes and living society. It's sort of a medieval tinged fantasy world with like very low magic, lots of like, wow, we have to, it's like a lot of exploration, a lot of like learning about the world, mystery stuff, some really fun combat and cool cultural stuff. And what really appeals to me about this this setting idea is that I really like the idea of building culture into the world and being like, hey, these people, sort of like one of the major inspirations is Game of Thrones, but specifically the fact that I didn't like that at least the show focuses so much on the nobles almost not very little on the actual people being affected by all of their decisions. You just kind of see people you see like mobs of people.
Yeah.
That's about it. And I'm like, well, what about those people? What about their day-to-day lives? And what if we also didn't have to have it be specifically like medieval England or some other location? We'll decide as a group where we end up choosing to set it and where we'll take inspiration from.
Yeah.
But it'll be, there will be some magic, although I want the magic to work more like the depictions of the supernatural tend to in real life, which is to say, very rarely do you have normal humans being able to just like point their finger and be like, kapluki, and like a wild thing happens. Like you have in D&D, for example, where you'll have like, yep, I know magic and I just say the magic words and it all happens.
Yeah.
You do have people like that in various cultures, but very rarely do you have that. There's usually some connection to like a supernatural entity, and there's often ceremonies and there are rituals and different things that you have to, there are steps you have to go through to access these magical abilities. Also, another element would be like religion, because usually the supernatural is heavily connected to some version of a religion. Obviously, not all versions of the religion are would be the same. Like, a better way to say this would be different religions deal with, differently with the supernatural. So with some religions, you'll have supernatural power concentrated in the clergy. Even in certain denominations, if we just use Christianity as a jumping off point, which we probably wouldn't for the series. But within Christianity, you have denominations like Catholicism, where the supernatural power is concentrated among the clergy, like the supernatural power and authority. And sometimes you'll have like saints and stuff like that, but it's usually in that region. And then the normal people are not usually wielding supernatural powers. Whereas if you jump over to the denomination that I was raised in, Pentecostalism, in order to be considered saved in my denomination, you had to speak in tongues, which is considered an exercising of supernatural power in and of itself. So there is an expectation that in order to actually be a Christian in that denomination, you essentially have magic powers. Like you get magic powers from God, and it is fully accepted in the denomination that I was, that I grew up in, for normal people to be performing miracles, to be prophesying, etc. But that is, again, going to change drastically depending on what Christian denomination you look into.
Yeah.
Though it gets even more wild when you start looking at different religions entirely. And that, so we would be probably looking into, like, as a group, looking into building some sort of religious system. It wouldn't necessarily be, like, heavily codified, but it would be like, oh yeah, we believe this, and therefore we do these things. And here's some of the, like, here is some of our doctrine and stuff about this.
Yeah, I feel like that, so it like, would, that's not really super heavily explored. Like, I know that, like, you know, with D&D, for example, it's like, I worship, like, this god, who's the god of, like, darkness, or the god of storms, or something like that. But I feel like it's more kind of, like, vibes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is something that's very interesting to go into. Yeah, carry on, please.
Yeah. Exactly. And I would want it to be like, oh yeah, how does you connecting with this god actually affect your day-to-day life? Does it have a big deal? Like, is it like, because in some religions it'll be like, every decision I make must be in line with this thing. In other religions, it's more like, oh no, it's just a general philosophy that you need to follow. Maybe it's not even deity focused as such. It's more like a philosophical thing, and there's a spiritual element to it. Like, it varies, and we'll decide. We'll figure that out. And it's not going to be all religion, obviously, but that's one of the major things that I was inspired by.
Yeah, but I think it's like a good sign that, like, you're really going to be getting into, like, the ins and outs of this world if you're, like, looking into things like that, you know? Like, it sounds like, like, it does sound like, it sounds like you're really excited about this, which I'm hyped for, you know? So it's a Red Bull inspired RPG. Is it going to be Wanderhome? Is that what you're thinking?
No.
No. Okay.
Wanderhome is nowhere near violent enough.
Okay. That's where we're going. All right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I want there to be, Wanderhome has basically zero violence. There is exactly one character archetype that can do violence. And if you do violence, your character is retired forever.
Ooh.
So that's what happens in that game. Which is why when people were upset back when they first announced Burrow's End, and people were like, they could have done Wanderhome instead of D&D, I was like, guys,
it's
have you played Wanderhome?
Yeah. that's not the vibe. That's from what I've seen, definitely not the vibes. And so look, here's the thing. I'm obsessed with Burrow's End. I still haven't watched it, because I just simply mm-hmm. do not have any time. I'm on the edge always. I'm like on Burrow's End TikTok. It's wild. And like, yeah. I'm constantly like going, check it out. I'm quoting Jasper now, you know, like, but like, yeah, I still haven't had the time to actually sit down and watch it. So I'm very excited, but the vibes, immaculate, terrifying, you know? So I can see that. But yeah.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And it would not be, it would not exactly be Burrow's End, because they would not be like, there wouldn't be bears. For example, I would be following sort of more closer to Redwall guidelines, which is like, there's basically, you don't have any animals above a certain size.
Mm-hmm.
Like badger is about as big as you're going to get.
Shit.
So you would not have any bears, but you might have various kinds of mustelid, things like that. And reptiles would exist. But the way that I'm looking at approaching, also birds would theoretically exist,
okay.
but you wouldn't really engage with them. I wouldn't make them PCs just because like, the physiology would be so different.
Birds
do show up. Yeah, exactly. You could like encounter them, but they have their own things going on.
Yeah.
So essentially that's one that I'm looking at. It would just be like a cool adventure story. That's like in sort of the vein of something like Game of Thrones. And it would have like a lot of cool action and adventure. I have not settled on a system exactly yet, but there's been a number of ones that I've been looking at that are kind of animal focused.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the ones I've been looking at are annoying in this. If they focus on animals, it's annoying because they don't have provisions for like just any animal.
Mm.
It'll be like Mouse Guard, for example, is a really cool comic and a cool system, but it's all mice.
Yeah.
You're just mice.
Mm-hmm.
So I want something with a bit more flexibility in that regard, and a magic system that would work as well. And what I may end up doing is just hacking a different game and then sort of imposing sort of a loosey-goosey magic system onto it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want anything like real complicated.
It would be,
but that's one.
It would be so cool if we could like make our own system for this. I know that's like, that's overreaching, but it would be pretty sick, you know, like, but.
I'd be honest, I'm considering like hacking like the kids on bikes type system to be like, oh, here's how we make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, you have a die that you use for these different abilities. Mm-hmm. So maybe some people are good at fighting, but they're maybe not good in other areas, that sort of thing.
Maybe a Powered by the Apocalypse style thing could also like work. But
yeah, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. But that's really, really cool. But by the way, I'm going to be especially like going to the Patreon a lot to help me decide what character I'm going to play. this kind of thing. So I'm going to have like a lot of input on Patreon from people. I'm not sure if Jasper's going to do the same, but I will definitely be up in there asking for, you know, putting up polls and stuff like that. So yeah, consider, you know, joining us on there. And I'm pushing so hard for the Patreon. We always just like forget to talk about it, you know, so it's there. What
it's
other,
there and it's cool.
It's there and it's so cool. What other systems are you thinking of, Jeremy?
So, the other settings at least, because that's just one of the three. The other setting that I've been looking at, which I haven't developed as much, is a superhero story.
Yeah.
I really enjoy superheroes. It's one of my first loves in fiction in general.
I love a superhero.
As you heard earlier on this
show. Yeah, yeah. it was foreshadowing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I really love superhero stories. I don't know if I would want to do like a young person superhero story or an older person superhero story. Like, I think it might be cool to explore both sides of that. Yeah. Like a person just getting their powers and like and coming into their own versus another person who has, it's actually kind of like an Into the Spider-Verse deal where it's like you have one person who's way further in their superhero journey versus another person who's way earlier in their superhero journey.
We could absolutely do that. Like one of us, myself or Jasper, could be, you know, that kind of like dichotomy, that kind of like balance, you know? Which would be really interesting, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to play with absolutely. I think that would be a great idea. And I would love to play with more creative powers than you see, like something more in the vein of My Hero Academia in terms of like the creativity of the power sets. One series that I really enjoy, which I think I've mentioned on here before, is a web serial called Worm. Okay. It's a superhero web serial called Worm, and I've talked about it a few times, that has very, very creative powers on that one.
Yeah.
One of the coolest ones that they do is there's a character who has a passive ability that causes everyone to just forget them all the time.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, she has to like turn it off in order for people to remember that she's there.
Oh, that's spooky.
yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And there's like different POV chapters in that series, and hers never shows up on the list.
That's so clever.
Yeah, it's really fun.
That's funny.
And when people be like, hey, Imp, her name's Imp, they're like, Imp's story isn't showing up on the list. The writer's like, oh, sorry, I forgot. And then just never uploads it.
That's so funny. Like, imagine we were like putting out like stuff about this series, and then just like one of us is just left out because that's the whole thing.
They're never listed.
No,
in
never.
They're only mentioned in the episodes. Yeah, like, never listed outside
Liv?
Of the context of the episode.
Oh, yeah, lives in it. Oh, so sorry. Yeah,
I love that. That's hilarious.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a really cool. I think we could do some really fun stuff, especially with like cool dramatic fights.
Yeah.
Which one thing that I wanted to have is like, I think. That's partly why I wouldn't want to use D&D, but like I want very descriptive cinematic fights for all of these that are very cooperative back and forth. I like any system that would allow you all to grab the reins and be like, hey, I want to tell part of the story here.
Yeah.
And we go back and forth. I think that could be really fun.
Yeah.
For sure. And yeah, when it comes to superhero stuff, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. It's all wacky sorts of, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Literally the sky's the limit, depending on your power set. Yeah.
I love that. Like, like that's part of why like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films are like my favorites, because it could go from just being like absolutely absurd, like, you know, now dig on this, like that, you know, like like what is happening, you know, so like that, but then like it can go from that to like, you know, Green Goblin being impaled on his own glider and then just like splurting out, don't tell Harry, before he dies, you know, like that.
Yeah,
that kind of vibe is like like, you know, like chilling.
Yeah,
like I love that, like that juxtaposition. Like I would love to do something like that. Honestly,
explore chills. Yeah, exploring like all those different tones, like the dark. I love the idea of like a dark superhero thing, like a dark superhero arc. I love the idea of like the romantic, like the love interest that superheroes will often have.
Yes.
Dynamics within a superhero team.
Mm-hmm.
All those things would be really, really fun to do.
Mm.
I think inspirations. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that might be like a good moment to mention that, like, even though it's going to be the core three of us, we are also going to be getting in guests to like come and join
us. True.
So like there might be like, if we're doing the superhero themed one, maybe there's another superhero that comes in and joins us for like a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that might be really fun. Or if it's like the Red Bull inspired one, we bump into another, you know, adventurer bunny. I don't know. But like, mm-hmm. yeah. And it's going to be a bunch of cool people who are in the UK and US, like TTRPG scene. And it's going to be really fun. And I'm so excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Inspirations for that one include, I mentioned Worm, I mentioned My Hero Academia. Invincible is another cool series.
Still haven't seen it. Need to get on it.
Ooh, okay. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to get into it.
Very violent. I will say that.
Oh, yeah.
It is extremely violent.
Oh, yeah.
In one particular scene, and everyone who's seen all of season one knows what I'm talking about, stupefyingly violent.
It's
one of the most violent things I've ever seen.
Oh, that's saying something, I feel like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's rough. And then the comics are also good. I do recommend checking out the comics.
Okay, cool.
There's one storyline that I'm really wondering if they're going to adapt at all, and if they do adapt it, how they will change it, or if they will change it at all. Mm. Yeah, that's an edgy series. I don't know if I want to do... If you've read Invincible and you can guess what storyline I'm talking about, we wouldn't do that. I can tell you that. But it's an interesting storyline. Mm-hmm. What other inspirations am I thinking of? I would say probably Marvel Comics to an extent, but like not necessarily all of them, but the idea of like creating a world where that a number of superheroes live, how does that actually affect the world around them? How has that transformed things? That sort of stuff. I would lean more towards the I would lean more towards the like societal implications of superheroes. Maybe a little bit of Watchmen.
I was gonna say
there.
I was like, what is the name? I was like, I'm thinking W. I'm thinking guy who floats around.
yeah Dr. Watchmen. Manhattan.
That's him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'd have some Watchmen influence in there, and like in terms of how the society has changed due to the advent of these costumed crusaders.
And also maybe some like Incredibles vibes going on.
Yeah.
There? Yeah.
Well, like the Incredibles is takes a lot of inspiration from Watchmen, I would argue. The way that the premise of the first Watchmen story is that almost all the superheroes have retired. They were forced into retirement by government acts. And in The Incredibles, the premise is that all of the superheroes were forced into retirement because of government laws. And they had previously been part of like the government agency. They were in the employ of government agencies in that series, which also kind of happens a little bit in Watchmen with some of the superheroes. The ones who are still allowed to operate are allowed to do so because they work for the government. Essentially, in Watchmen. So anyway, all of those things, I would not want it to be like dark, gritty all the time, but it would certainly get rough at times. And we can talk about the level of violence and all that stuff amongst ourselves. And so anyway, that's another option.
Yeah,
superheroes.
Very cool.
The third option is a bit more vague because I've had the idea more recently, but I'm also very excited about it. It would essentially be a dark fantasy series starring like young people, whether those are young adults or kids. I recently rewatched Return to Oz with my friend, and I love that movie.
It's so spooky.
yeah, that movie is freaky.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen it, it's really, really good.
These guys
really
rolling
freaky.
Around at me, and I can't deal with that. No, I can't.
Yeah, the Wheelers are rough.
No.
And Queen Mambi, I watched that movie in my 20s for the first time, and Queen Mambi freaked me out.
Absolutely
like,
not.
Nah, dude.
No. Yeah,
it's rough.
Oh,
but influenced by stuff like that, I also really love. To an extent, influenced by Made in Abyss, which is a popular manga/anime series. I've only actually seen the anime, but elements of the world. I like the element of exploration and the world building of that series, as well as like the darker horror elements of that series. I enjoy. And I just like the idea of young people up against overwhelming, weird fantasy forces that don't need to be fully explained. It's just you're in it, there they are, you gotta find a way around it. I like that. And even the original Oz books contain an element of that. Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass both contain an element of that, where it's like this world is bizarre and who knows what's going on, but we'll find a way through. Sort of A Wrinkle in Time has elements of that as well. So it'd be like young people in a fantasy world of some kind that they're now having to navigate, and they there are overwhelming odds, but of course they're probably going to triumph in the end, one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah, like
Die RPG is another inspiration, yes, I would say, which as well. Or also, Die the comic series.
Yeah, which also Die RPG is something that I really want to explore more. Even if we do like maybe a cheeky little one-shot of that, that's mm-hmm. something that we are working on currently. But I love those vibes. Like, kids are... they're just not going to question it. Like, if they're put into like that kind of like you have greatness thrust upon you thing, they're going to be like, okay, I'm going to do it, I guess. Because it's just
exactly,
it's just what kids are like in these kind of like fictional worlds, you know. They're just like, okay, here we go, I guess, you know.
Yep. Well, we're gonna have to make it through somehow.
Yeah.
Coraline would be another source of inspiration, and less so the later Narnia books. Mm. But I really like the Magician. I like a lot of the Narnia books, but specifically the Magician's Nephew, because that one has the strongest vibes of like, what is going on?
Hey, like, what is this?
There's like, yeah, I don't know if you've read that one, but it is weird.
No, I haven't. There's
a whole section where they're in sort of a wood between the worlds scenario where there's all these pools and they like, you can jump into the pools and each pool takes you to a different world.
Ooh.
And they travel to one that's called Charn. Mm. It's actually really cool. It's a world called Charn that's basically a dead world.
Ooh.
Where like they're walking around everything. It's basically experienced an apocalypse already and everyone's dead. And they go to this hall of like rulers and all the rulers are just sitting there unmoving.
Ooh,
like, and not breathing. They're just sitting there perfectly preserved and you can see them and they're like walking along seeing each of the rulers and they go that you can see on their faces they grow increasingly evil but also like long story short, I think the last ruler of Charn becomes the White Witch in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Like, they accidentally wake her up. Yeah, they accidentally wake her up, and then, like, she follows them back to London and, like, gets into, like, a bunch of mess. Like, she's, like, fighting a Bobby at one point.
She gets on a bus. Like, she's like, where are we going?
Yeah, she, like, hops. She commandeers a carriage and is, like, riding it through London, like, yeah!
The
horses are like, oh, my God!
Who is this?
That's funny. It's a really cool... So that those vibes where it's, like, a little bit more absurdist and weird, but also, like... just like, what is going on? Yeah. And yeah, I love that stuff.
Those are stuff. Like so difficult to choose between. I love all of those ideas. Like, I'm really excited about all those. Like, so I guess we'll just leave it to the patrons, basically. Those are the options. Let us know what you think. And also let us know like what, like who you would like to see like join in with us. Like who?
Yeah, as guests.
Yeah, who kind of guests you want to have us like, have us join us. I'm just too excited, I can't even speak. But like, it wouldn't be like, you know, every single session or anything. It would be like, no. It would be like, you know, arcs. Like,
it'd be closer to Cub and the Caterpillar.
Yeah.
Probably more guest spots than on Cub and the Caterpillar, because I think we only ever had really two with that series. Technically three, but two. Like, they were the same two people, but they just happened to show up again.
Cool.
But it would be like, it would be something like that, where it'd be like, you'd have somebody show up for a couple of episodes and then like they dip and then maybe they come back again down the line any of these series.
Well, that's super exciting. Once again, go on over to patreon.com/throughblackhalflings to check that out. Also, here's a big thing that we need to tell you more about. We are doing live shows, gang. Live shows are happening. We're in London, in Manchester. They are happening, and very soon too. It's January now. They're happening in April. It's just come around so quickly. So first off, these are like the locations and the dates. It is Wednesday, April 3rd is going to be our Manchester live show. I think there are links below on the podcast info. There should be links below. You can check those out and have a look-see. But also on Friday, April 5th, there'll be a London show. So you've got a couple of options there. You can be like further up in the UK, go to Manchester. Further down, go to London. We've heard people who are further up in the UK are going down to London. What are you doing? Come and
yeah, don't do that to yourselves.
That's so wild. I mean, if you want to go there, we're not going to stop you, but you know, like,
go to both. Why not?
Go to both if you want to. They're going to be fun and cool.
yeah, they're probably going to be different.
probably going to be different. Honest. Yeah, it's going to be an individual experience, each of them. So think about that. But yeah, we wanted to kind of, we got like ideas for them and we're really excited, but we wanted to kind of like throw out the question to y'all, like, what do you want to see? We want to do something that's going to be really fun for you guys. This is going to be the first time that we get to like hang out with you all. And that's, we're so hyped about that. So we want to just make sure it's a really good experience for you all. We are like
joyous. That's the word, I think, that is probably, it's probably one of the core words of this show. Mm. And I think we'd want to bring that joyousness to the live setting. Yeah. There's a joyfulness and a glee, not, who knows, maybe we'll do glee.
Maybe we'll do glee.
Glee RPG.
Maybe, the glee PG. Yeah, I would love
a glee, a glee RPG.
yeah.
But who knows? Nice. Yeah. What do you want? Like, that's the energy we want to have. Yeah. We want it to be like, you came to this show and it was an experience and it was a blast.
We want you to walk away thinking like, wow, that was a fun time. That's what we want from this. So we're batting around a few ideas. We're like leaning maybe towards more of an actual play kind of show. Like, but there's also the opportunity to like do some talk show stuff as well. So like, you know, just let us know if feedback, give us some of that sweet feedback. What do you want to see? So far on Patreon, people seem to be wanting to see some actual play stuff, maybe a little bit mix of both. But we want to hear from everyone. So please go ahead and check out the listings, grab some tickets, maybe for you and for a friend. Like, wow, happy late Christmas gift. Come to join me for Three Black Halflings. Oh, you don't know who they are? Well, you do. You're gonna come and see them with me, you know? So go ahead and do that, please. That'd be great.
Where can people go to buy tickets, Liv?
There should be a link below in the podcast info bits. But if not, you can head on over to Live Nation. And there will be, you can like search for our names and we'll be up in there. But also a solid place to go find more information is www.threeblackhalflings.com. Because it's got all the information there, right on the homepage.
Yeah. So, and you can go to livenation.co.uk/ /artist-3-black-halflings. that's you know what, look, Google Three Black Halflings Live Nation, and then you'll be you should be able to get it. You'll be able to get to
be
it
able to get
if
it.
You don't click on the description.
Go and check out the description. It's all gonna be there. You'll find it. I promise you will. Follow us on socials as well, and we'll tell you more about those at the end, but we post about it there. So so live shows
can be awesome.
But also Jeremy, conventions. So many of them. We're attending them, and we have been for like a few years, but we just keep forgetting to mention that. So here we go.
Yeah.
Start 2024. We're doing it. Let's start off with Worldcon. What?
Yeah.
We're heading to Worldcon in Glasgow. That's going to be, and this is going to be completely out of order, by the way. I'm just going by the places.
The dates are so all over the place.
Yeah.
When is Worldcon happening?
Worldcon, Jeremy, is happening August 8th to the 12th in 2024. It's up in Scotland, Glasgow, Scotland. So there's going to be a bunch of cool people there. It's very like science fictiony, but also just kind of like nerdy, just like a cool nerdy time. We're going to be, I'm looking at some of the other guests, and it's like there's some really cool people going to be there.
Like who? Name them.
Kevin McCoy. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know who that is.
That is. Give me a second. He was one.
Just because I went, ooh, I don't know who that is.
Like, I was like, oh, I think I was thinking of Kevin MacLeod, but also the person who makes like so many different copyright free music things. He's a science fiction writer. He's written
Tony DePass.
What?
Tony DePass is going to be there.
Tony DePass. Oh, okay.
Isn't she?
Wait, isn't she? Who?
Tanya DePass, guest on this show.
Oh, wow.
A prominent black woman in TTRPGs. She's a gifted player, GM, all sorts of different things. She was involved with Into the Motherlands. She was not just involved. She's one of the main people over
Everything
Into the Motherlands.
Everything has an upwards inflection. Oh, we're on the Oh, Tanya DePass is there. Yeah, special guest, Tanya DePass. Stop it. Tanya DePass.
We're going to be performing with her.
Yeah, and we're also, Three Black Halflings is also in the special guest. We're on there. Wow. That's us.
Whoa.
We will be going.
Wow.
Wow. There's also gonna be like a bunch of like art show stuff, like dealers, like think of Artist Alley, like Comic Con, that kind of thing. There's gonna be a bunch of events going on. Award shows, the Hugo Awards are happening there.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Indeed. But yeah, like also Scotland is a beautiful, gorgeous place. If you've ever been like, I want to go head up to Scotland, this is your chance. Come and hang out with us. We'll be there. And maybe head on over to Edinburgh. That's like one of my favorite places in the world. It's so beautiful, yeah. So gorge. Lovely. So there's Worldcon. Also, Jeremy, Gen Con, I believe?
Yes.
Yes.
Just a few days before that.
Ah!
Gen Con ends August 4th.
Gosh.
It's August 1st through 4th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of us will be at Gen Con, but it'll at least be me, probably.
Yeah, because Jeremy's in America and the rest of us are not. So, like, it's easy to do with that kind of thing. But if there's any opportunity for us to head over to America to do, like, to be a part of, like, a bunch of really cool cons, for example, PAX East.
Yeah.
PAX Unplugged.
Well, I am going to be at also going to be at PAX East.
Sick.
Which is in March. Basically, we're looking to run panels at these things. Not just like I will physically be at the event, but like also be doing panels and live shows and like having Three Black Halflings panels and live events and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? PAX East, maybe, depending on how things shake out, mm-hmm. maybe you could even see a proto version of what you would see at Three Black Halflings live shows.
Ooh, I mean, look, that's pretty high. That's pretty hype.
Featuring
pretty cool.
Me and non-halflings, probably.
Look, if we can get there.
Like me testing it out.
Like, it's definitely, it's going to be Jeremy. And bonus, it might be me and Jasper. We don't know. But
yeah,
at least Jeremy. And you know what? You don't need anything else. Okay? Don't be greedy. You don't need anything else. Jeremy is. It's more than enough. Excellent, excellent human, excellent guy. Don't be a little shit, okay?
Don't be greedy.
Don't be greedy, all right? There's three of us, but what is enough? We're all enough individually. Anyway, yes, there's also, this is one that is like, we're going to shout it out because our main man, Jasper William Cartwright, is making a fucking festival con thing. Like,
yeah, I don't think he doesn't want it to be a con, right? But it's like a con.
It's kind of like a con, but it's like a gaming festival. It's called You Meet In. It's like You Meet In .. But it's in You Meet In Malta because it's going to be happening in Malta. Wow. Like that's like a gaming festival like in Malta. That's so much fun. That's so cool.
If you don't know what Malta is, because if you're American, I feel like you may not be very familiar. It's an island in the Mediterranean that's owned by Britain.
Yeah.
And has monkeys on it
mm-hmm.
that were imported from Northern Africa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have little macaques. The Barbary macaques.
Oh, I love a macaque. Oh, come for the macaques. You meet the macaques in Malta. but that's going to be the 25th of September until the 30th of September. That's going to be really cool. You're going to have Erica Ishii is going to be there. Abria is going to be there.
Yeah.
Christina Ariel, like,
yeah,
like, come for that. Don't even come for us. We're hopefully going to be there. Fingers crossed. But Abria is going to be there. Everyone else is going to be there. Just go. You know, just come. Just come hang out. Come hang out. Are we missing anything else? Oh, Big Bad Con.
PAX Unplugged. Oh, Big Bad Con. Yes.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Big Bad Con.
Big Bad Con. When is that happening? Let me see.
They have
a Big Bad Con online.
I've never been to it.
The main thing is happening in October 24th through the 27th.
It's all towards the end of the year, isn't it? It's mad towards the end of the year. Like, it's the most manic time for me. It's wild. So that's going to be really fun. I've heard so many amazing things about Big Bad Con. Like, I think it's going to be quite, like, just really hype and exciting. I've said hype so many times because I'm just hyped, okay?
Hype.
I'm hyped. But yeah, it's going to be just like a really like nice welcoming space for everyone, but also POC people are like championed. POC people, I did it. POCs are championed. Oh no.
You could just say POC.
Yeah, exactly. I went back and I did say just POC are championed. Oh, POC. Yeah.
Because it's singular, yeah.
It's singular. Color, yeah. Now, it would be so cool if I knew grammar. It would be so cool if I did. But yeah, POC are championed, and just it's just a wonderful safe space, and not just safe, exciting, you know? So definitely check that out. Check it out. Mm-hmm. And
maybe more.
Maybe more. And also, I believe we're going to be doing some D&D in a castle stuff. So
yes, we are. Yeah. That has not. I know Jasper's doing D&D in a castle. I think he's already sold out.
I was like, he sold out? Oh my God. I can't believe he gave in to the man.
I think he would openly say he would immediately give in to the man.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
let me see. D&D in a castle. If you want to be at the event while he's there, I believe this is April. I think that's the one he's doing.
Sure.
Let me see. Upcoming, they've got specifically the one that Jasper's going to be at is April 5th through 9th. I believe there are still some tickets available. It's going to be Jaden King, who's really nice, really cool person, very, very creative. Jaden King, I've met Jay a few times. Beth the Bard, also very cool, very creative person. Awesome person. Guy Sklanders, awesome, cool person. I've met all of these people. Keith Baker, very cool, creator of the Eberron setting.
Ooh.
In Dungeons and Dragons, yeah.
Damn.
Keith Baker is going to be there. I've met him too. He's awesome. Kelly Lynn D'Angelo, very creative, very awesome. Met her. Mm-hmm. London Carlisle, who's been on this very show.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, London's the bomb. Mm-hmm. Elisa Teague, who's awesome, a titan in the TTRPG industry. Jasper, of course.
Yes.
Mark Meer.
Mark.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Love me some Mark. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they're completely sold. I know most of those tables are sold out, I think, but not all of them. There's also hardcore mode, which is like, if you want, instead of 24 hours of D&D, 36 hours
you want that?
Of D&D, just Probably. Nonstop and relentless and hardcore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I might take a stab at that myself. We'll see. We will see. But
and when you say stab at it, you'd mean running it, right?
Potentially.
Maybe.
Who could say? This is genuinely, that's not set in stone, but like, you know, I'd be down. I'll go. Yeah.
I'm also maybe doing some, not at that particular D&D in a castle, but in a different castle.
No, for sure. Yeah, not in that one. No, not in that one.
No.
Same.
But there may well be some Jeremy presence at a future D&D in a castle event later this year. Contracts have not been signed, but there have been looks across the bar.
Yes.
Coquettish looks.
The raising of glasses. The smirking of lips. Yes.
Yes. Somebody delivered a drink and they looked over and they were like, you can thank that person. And they're like,
it was like, oh, and it was a nameless, like a faceless person with the name.
It was a castle.
D&D in a castle. Yeah. A castle head on
them. A person with a castle for a head.
Yeah. It was like a rook. No, wait. No, rook's a horse.
Yeah. Rook. Like a rook like in chess. Yeah.
No, a rook like in chess. Yeah. Yeah. I so knew that. Yeah. No. it's a rook. It's a rook head. Okay.
we're done.
We're so done. Gosh. So that's a really cool thing to look out for. Also we're going to be doing like some of our own projects this year. You just heard about Jasper's. He's going to be doing Me in Malta, which honestly, the magnitude of that, wild, good. That's super sick to hear. Yeah. He's doing real well. Anything that you want to mention that's coming up this year, Jeremy?
Excuse me. We do have, so we've been mentioning the smaller TTRPG series. I want to be very clear. Mm. Or AP series, rather. Mm. I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
We do have some very big things in the works.
Oh, for sure.
Some very, very big things, some very big collaborations.
Yeah.
Some very, very big AP projects that are the biggest ones that we're planning are sequels to popular AP series that we've already done.
Very popular.
If you can think of a popular AP series that we've done, there's a chance that we're doing a sequel to it. I'm not going to give any more details except to say, hey, if you have money and want to sponsor it, hit us up.
Yeah,
say,
for real.
Hey, you want to do, because we're looking for like outside funding to do these things bigger and better. Maybe even recording in person in studios, have filmed versions that are actually able to be done.
Yeah. In case you don't know the story with that, like Wagadu was supposed to be put out properly, but Riverside goofed us up big time.
It's not just Riverside. Let's be real. There were other stuff lined up and it just never happened.
It just fell apart, honestly. But, you know.
Through no fault of our own, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, I mean, look, I work full time. I'm trying to do my best over here. But, so you know, like, it would have been like a full time job to kind of like sort all that out. So, yeah.
And I want to be clear. Liv coming in to help sort it out was because the other thing fell through through no fault of our own. Yeah. Liv came in and with her considerable skill, along with you. Chloe actually was helping.
Yeah.
Both of you were putting in major hours, but it's like, it's you shouldn't have been in that position in the first place because
something else fell happened. It was a whole thing, but
but like, this time it would not be with different people.
Exactly. And a part of that potentially, Jeremy, I've spoken a little bit about this, a project that I might be working on would be, so the UK TTRPG scene is, I think, it's just flourishing at the moment. Like, it's really taking off, and like, it's really exciting to see a bunch of different shows and cool people making their things, but it's kind of inaccessible right now. If you wanted to make like a studio, like high quality studio production, you're going to have to like make your own studio or like hire a place or this and that and the other. So I think that it would be really cool if there was a place in the UK where you could go and everything's all set up. It's a really cool looking studio, like think Dimension 20 looking vibes or like Critical Role looking studio vibes. And you have people who are there to help you produce things. Like it could be me, it could be another producer. You've got the tools and you've got the support to make the thing. So that's what I want to do this year. That's the big ass project I've decided that I'm going to undertake, apparently, because I think there's a market for it. I think we're missing it in the community, you know, and that's emphasis on community as well, because it would not only be a place where you could like make your thing, but also like a hub, like a community hub where like there would be like networking nights and there would be like opportunities to like learn like how to, you know, make your actual play stuff. I even would love to do like an application based project each year where you can submit like your idea for an actual play show, and then we can like look through them, and like if selected, then we will like give you the studio to like film like a few episodes, and then we'll help you like market it and put it out there and teach you how to do all that stuff. And also it wouldn't just be the RPG studio, it would be like live streaming studio, it would be a podcasting studio as well, and voiceover booth, that kind of thing. So if that sounds interesting to you, please let me know, because I need moral support and validation.
It sounds great, Liv.
Thank you, bud. I appreciate that very much. But that's something that I really want to put together this year. I'm trying to kind of like look into both funding for it, but then also like kickstarting it. But like, it's kickstarting something scary though, you know? Like, it's so scary, Jeremy. Like, what if it doesn't go through? I have full faith in this idea, but like, yeah, no, it, like, you're just like, oh, like, how disappointing would that be, you know? But
yeah,
you know,
you put in hours and hundreds of hours of work potentially,
exactly,
for it to never, I'm with
fruition.
You.
Yeah, but also like, it wouldn't just be if I did put it on Kickstarter, and in general, it wouldn't just be the studio itself, because why would you want to kickstart that? What do you get out of that? Well, you get several different actual play shows that will be put together to be filmed in that space, some of which could be like 3BH stuff, but then like brand new actual play shows like altogether that we like focused on like queer people and femme people, and then there's like just like another like really cool like D&D series. Look, I've been thinking about this nonstop. I got so many ideas. So like, if you want to help out at all, I don't know if anyone has any possible investing chops or whatever, do hit me up. So yeah, like you can, if you head over to the website, you can go onto our bios and you can see that there'll be a little email thing. So you can contact us and let me know. But yeah, that's something that I'm working on this year, and I think it's going to be really cool. So yeah. Big year.
Yeah.
Big year, Jeremy.
Yeah, huge. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. Gonna be huge.
It's going to be huge and awesome.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, it is. That, along with the collaborations that we have in mind. Yeah. It's big stuff.
Yeah, so. I didn't even talk about like all of the shorter showcase TTRPG APs that we plan to do for smaller independent systems throughout the year.
Yes.
We have a number of those in the works. Mm. It's not one of which would be a really fun miniseries potentially with Liv GMing.
Yes.
It's just about that one's really down to scheduling because we've got a cast.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the system, we've got art. Yeah. It's just about scheduling.
Ready to go. And it's honestly, I'm so excited about it. Like, it's a killer cast. Super, super cool concept. Like, genuinely, you're all going to love it. So,
yeah. It's going to be sick.
Going to be super cool.
Sick.
Yeah. But I think that's it from us. I think we've spoken about the majority of things we have planned now, but things are going to change. Things are going to, more stuff's going to happen this year for 3BH. We're going wild over here. Just stay tuned. That's all I can say.
Halfling's gone wild, baby!
Yeah. All right. I guess we're just going to sign off now, right?
Shire folk. Oh, wait, we didn't say where you could find us.
Wait.
You find me on Twitter, catch me outside. Follow me on Twitter, Blue Sky, at Jeremy Cobb, Woman, Cobb 2B's the number one. Instagram, the Cobbmeister, twitch.tv/casualquestlive. Come hear my even more unfiltered thoughts, playing various video games that I've never played before and trying to become a good gamer.
Heck yeah, not just good, pro.
Yeah, a pro. I will be making money just to play video games.
Yeah.
That's a professional gamer.
Can't wait to see that. It's going to be really cool. You could find me over on Twitter. I'm at DesDarkMagic. I'm at DesDarkMagic in most places, honestly. Go to a social media site, type that in, see what happens. sounds like a threat. type it in, see what happens.
See what happens.
But I'm also twitch.tv/Olivia DesDarkMagic. Need to make some streams. Just very tired. and also... YouTube.com/LibbyDoesDarkMagic and Dicebreaker and Three Black Halflings, and check it out again, please. And also all the Three Black Halflings stuff. Once again, we've plugged it enough, but Patreon.com/Three Black Halflings. There's some cool stuff going on down over there. And with all of these big wild plans we have for this year, your support would be really, really cool. It would be really cool. So, sure. And we're at Three Black Halflings on most social media platforms, I believe.
Right?
Yeah! Cool. We did it.
Yay. So long, Shire Folk.
So long, Shire Folk. Whoa, with Jasper.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.